Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. This program is supported by San Juan Health Partners Urology, providing a wide range of personalized services for the whole family, including children. Our caring professionals are dedicated to helping meet your urology health needs with skill, experience, and service you need. For a complete listing of our services and to learn more, visit sanjuanhealthpartners.com or call 505-609-6300. San Juan Health Partners Urology, a division of San Juan Regional Medical Center. Well, now let me turn to my guest who is here with me this morning. Diana Kinney is here, as I mentioned, program manager with the Northwest New Mexico Firstborn Program. Diana, good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Always good to see you.
Always.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And remind us a little bit about what Firstborn does. This is a program for new families, as I mentioned, in San Juan and McKinley counties, right?
Yes, we are a program to give support and education to first-time families. It can be the moms first, the dads first, both of them. It might be an adoptive family. And we are a free program, and it doesn't depend on income.
Right. And you've been there for a couple of years now.
We've been talking, right? It's been about 2.5 years.
Right. And so it is in McKinley and San Juan counties. And so I would imagine for a new family, whether it's mom, dad, or both, there's a lot of questions and maybe a lot of uncertainties about what this new bundle of joy will bring to the family.
Definitely a lot. I know that when I had my first child, I was very young and we lived out on the reservation, and my mentor wasn't very knowledgeable, let's say. So this is a great program for that knowledge, and we have a curriculum. Mm-hmm. The curriculum has been around. It was founded over 20 years ago from Vicki Johnson and in Grant County.
Gotcha. And the curriculum talks about development and different things and different milestones for the child's development and education and things like that. Is that kind of what we're talking about?
It is. And we like to start during pregnancy. And once a family's enrolled, then we go up to the time a child is 3 years old, if they want us around that long.
Okay. They don't have to?
No.
Okay.
They don't.
It's optional.
It is.
And I suppose, can folks start on the program at any time during the pregnancy or right up until birth? Or what are some of the rules about that? I mean, as soon as we find out that we're having a baby, can we call you or
yes,
what?
Yes, please do. And we often get referrals. Usually doctors, hopefully, are talking to their patients about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do like to start during pregnancy. There's so much vital information there. And we do enrollment through the time that a child's 3 months old. But once they enroll, then again, we can stay until the child is 3 years old.
Got it. So even after the child is born, there's still time to get signed up, right?
Yes.
And you can still help. There's still something that the Firstborn program can do for that family.
Yes. Yes. We realize too that with happy, healthy families, that it benefits the entire community.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us stronger.
Right.
Yes, we can look at the health of the families, and families with our outcomes, they have higher incidence of well-child checks, and even during prenatally, then the families are receiving more appointments. They're going to more appointments.
Right. And this is so important in a state like New Mexico, which may have hit and miss opportunities for health care, and maybe families that live an hour outside of town and it's hard to get in to see the doctor all the time and things like that. Your group, your organization will go and visit them no matter where they are in the northwest corner, right?
Right. For in Farmington, we go all over San Juan County.
Mm-hmm.
So we cover San Juan County, and we go to homes. And also, if families aren't comfortable with us going into their homes, then we can meet anywhere.
I see.
That they want to. We've met in the back of the car at a chapter house once. That was an interesting
right.
one.
So, okay.
And one of our home visitors meets at a grocery store with the parents because that's where the dad works.
Okay.
And during his lunch break.
But you can do that.
Yep. Okay. At a park.
Right.
And we met at the E3 Children's Museum the other day.
Nice.
We like to integrate people into the community.
Sure.
As well.
But that's important, right? To make sure that mom and dad are a part of this and that the information is getting to everybody in the family. And, mm-hmm. and for these families that have their firstborn child, there's a lot to learn, I think, about how to keep the child healthy and what to be doing during all this really important developmental years.
There is, definitely. And we might get questions such as, oh my goodness, my baby has a rash.
Right.
You know, what do you think? We always refer to physicians. We're home visitors. We're not counselors. We have no medical degrees. And we always refer to medical professionals. So it may be from, this is an odd rash, what's going on, up until, you know, it could be, we need a home, you know, and we could help people with that as well, with hooking them up to the resources.
Right, right. So they're needing a place to live, you mean, and that could be something you can help with, or at least refer them to the right resources in town.
Yes, definitely.
And that's important. So it really is a all-encompassing visit that you're talking about, right, when you help these families.
It is. I think that the home visiting relationship is so special. You know, you go into somebody's home or at a park,
right?
Wherever,
yeah.
And you're in their lives, and it's so special. And I still see families that I worked with years and years ago, and I saw somebody yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and they said, "Oh, look, there's Miss Diana. Remember, she used to bring you books." And the child is 4 years old now.
Wow.
So I haven't seen her since she was two. So.
But that's a great feeling, I have to imagine, right? For you to be able to know what a lasting impact that you and this program is making on these local families?
It is, definitely. And I did mention the books. And
yeah.
We are very, very strong in our belief at how literacy affects families.
Mm-hmm. And the books are age appropriate. I
yes.
would think, right? And
yes.
so they're available for, again, free to the families, right?
Right. And we do receive several grants. We receive a grant from INTEC and from Three Rivers Foundation and from the Brindle Foundation.
Which is great.
It is.
And you encourage the families then to read with their children and to sit and read the stories and read.
We do. From pregnancy.
Right.
And we try to encourage it for daily.
And that's important. And again, all these things, you have a lot of research, I think, from your curriculum that shows that these things are proven effective strategies, lessons, and things like that that really do help the child in the long run.
Correct. And we do with our curriculum, we are research-based curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is researched, everything is approved for
right.
us to use. We don't go out and Google something and say, oh yeah, this is how you should do it.
Sure. And I know I would think for a lot of new families, when there is a health issue like a rash or something that mom or dad hasn't seen before, that they're very concerned because it's the first child. Maybe if you've had a few kids already, it's not such a big deal. But for that first child, it really does set off an alarm bell of something that could be wrong. You want it checked out. You want to get help.
It does. We also, once I was... I was at a dinner, actually it was my birthday dinner, and a mama called me, and they were having trouble with the formula. And so I was able to help them somewhat with that, but we get calls, we don't encourage it, but we've
right.
gotten calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we do try to encourage people to call at more appropriate hours, but we are there for our families, we
sure.
do care.
And that's important,
yeah.
Especially if you're, you know, don't have anyone else to turn to. And, you know, again, there are probably people listening and watching us today that know of a young family maybe that's pregnant or going to have a child or just had a child. And this is exactly what we're talking about. This service is available to them.
Exactly.
And to get, if they don't have maybe a grandma or great-grandma in the family maybe to ask about or things like that, or an aunt or whomever, even if they do, this is another resource for them.
And I think that's really interesting, Scott, what you're saying there is that even if there is a grandma and a great-grandma, things have changed so
mm-hmm.
much. Even, you know, when I had my children, we put them to sleep on their stomachs. they were on their tummies. And now it is shown that there are links to sudden infant death syndrome.
Right.
Because babies are on their tummies and they're not that strong and they may smother mm-hmm. in their blankets. We have a program where we have baby bassinets and we give those. You can put them on the bed beside you. And so all of the advice that we get from our parents and grandparents aren't always the latest in information that we have.
Sure. And so, again, this is just another resource for young families to be able to use, maybe in addition to that info from
exactly
grandma and grand,
in addition to
grandma and great-grandma or what have you, right?
We're not saying don't listen to them. We're just saying there are new things that we can try.
Sure. And it is funny to see how quickly or how fast things are advancing and there's new information and new techniques and new ways to avoid certain things that maybe when we were growing up, it's just an accepted part of being a kid.
Definitely. Yes.
And yeah. And that leads me to an event you have coming up later on this month, since we're in September now, which is on child seats and child safety seats, because that's a big thing now, whereas maybe when we were growing up, we just put the kid in the back of the station wagon and took off, you know?
I think my place in the car, seriously, if I can remember, was the back window.
On that ledge.
They had a ledge.
That big ledge, right. Mm-hmm. That was a great spot mm-hmm. until you had to stop fast, and then you were on the floor, but yeah. And
but you were kind of braced by your sister's heads.
That helped. That's true. That's very true. But these days, that'll get you a ticket.
That's right. And not
so,
only a ticket. It's
dangerous.
It is.
Right.
Very dangerous.
And so Firstborn is involved in this child safety seat check event coming up later on this month, isn't it?
Yes, and there are many other places. There are certified technicians. We have certified technicians at our agency and San Juan Regional Medical Center. We've had the police
right.
force and state police, local police, sheriff's departments. So a wide range of people take part in it. And this is through Safer New Mexico Now. And so at one time we were, of course, our rankings aren't good in many things, but we were...
For our state, huh?
Yes,
okay.
We were at the highest fatality rate in the nation. So now we rank 13th in safety and for how people use their car seats.
Okay, so we're getting better, but we're still not the best.
True.
And there's still work to be done. So you have an event coming up, on the 29th of September?
It is, September 29th, and that will be in the parking lot of Hobby Lobby from 10 to noon. And it's the National Seat Check Saturday. And what you can expect when you come in to one of the events is that the car seats will be checked.
Mm-hmm.
And they may have an expiration date. If they do, if something is wrong with the seat, then we have car seats there.
Right.
And we do ask for a $20 donation for that. And they're great car seats. And they're...
I was surprised when you told me that car seats have an expiration date, but then when I thought about it, it made sense that they would have an expiration mm-hmm. date, because you don't want to have an ancient car seat in the car in case of an accident, because they really need to do their job at that time.
Right, and even with an accident, it was interesting. Our office is downtown in Farmington, and we heard a crash, and we looked out, and it was a large SUV and another vehicle, and there was a baby in the car. Everybody was fine, but what we did is we took them our information, and they were able to come and get a different car seat, because once a car seat is in any type of an accident, then they are not safe.
It needs to be replaced. Right.
Right away.
And that's what this check is all about, right? Is to make sure that the seats and as the seats get swapped in and out of different vehicles, that's another thing to make sure that they're installed correctly, because each car, it seems like, has a different system of connections and straps and buckles
and
what have you and all that, right? To make sure that they're in and doing the job.
Definitely. And even just the way that the straps are on the child and where it lies, you know, it needs to be certain parts of their body so that if there is an impact, it's not doing more damage.
Right. Very important. So again, that's on the 29th, September 29th, just a few weeks away, because we're in September already, and over near Hobby Lobby in the parking lot is where it'll be set up, right? And the hours again are?
10 to noon.
10 to noon on the 29th. Great. Diana Kinney is my guest this morning. She is a program manager with Northwest New Mexico First Born. And we're going to take a short break. When we come back, there's more to talk about, right?
Definitely, a lot more, right? Always more.
Okay. we'll take a short break. Come back with my guest with more in just a moment here on KSJE. The time right now is coming up on 8:31. This program is supported by MyLabs, patient-ordered testing. San Juan Regional Medical Center is expanding its services to offer low-cost blood screenings year-round, now offering walk-in convenience to get the blood tests you want when you want them. MyLabs, patient-ordered testing, is available at the hospital's laboratory and the Outpatient Diagnostic Center on 30th Street in Farmington. With nearly 20 tests available, there's an option for everyone. My Labs, patient-ordered testing, a wellness service of San Juan Regional Medical Center. I'm Scott Micklin. My guest on the radio this morning, Diana Kinney, is here. She is the program manager with Northwest New Mexico First Born. Diana, again, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Scott, for having me.
It's good to have you with us this morning. And again, welcome to our viewers who are watching us this morning on the KSJE Facebook page and our YouTube channel who are watching what we're talking about here on the program. We're talking about First Born, and this is, again, as you've told us, the program for new moms and new dads. And it is a free program to residents of San Juan and McKinley counties. They just have to, I guess, call and sign up, right?
They can call, and we have our numbers. Will you be putting that online?
We can put the number online. You can tell it on, right. You can announce it online right now.
So the telephone number for San Juan County is 505-325-9187, and for McKinley County it is 505-863-8850.
And this program, as you've been telling me, is a home visiting program. It is designed, a curriculum-based program, to get good information to new moms and new dads, to kind of let them know what to expect, I guess, with the birth of their first baby, to kind of help them through the pregnancy time and also after the baby is born, up until, I guess, the baby's 3 years old, if they want to stay in the program that long. And it's really up to the family to decide that, right?
It is.
But it's a choice that they can make, but you're there for the duration.
And seldom do they say they want to stop.
I bet, right? Once they get used to it, right?
That's right.
And all the services that you can provide. And this home visiting, and I think home is in quotes, kind of, because it could be anywhere. As you mentioned, mm-hmm. It could be at a chapter house parking lot. It could be at the park. It could be outside dad's workplace, wherever. But that one-on-one and that face-to-face mm-hmm. contact is important, too. It's so much better than just maybe shooting emails back and forth or a phone call, right?
Definitely. And we also have a fantastic family room at our office.
At your office, too. Mm-hmm. Great. And that helps as well. And so I wanted to ask you, and we want to talk in this segment about outcomes, because that's so important, too, for these children and these families, right?
It is. So with the outcomes that we have, we touched on it before, is just that there is, say, a higher immunization rate, more frequent well child checks mm-hmm. from primary care providers. We attempt in every way to have families not use the emergency room
right.
as their health provider.
Right.
And
set them up with their own physician and family doctor and start that relationship too.
That is right. We also show that there's increased learning and better success in school.
And that because of the child being healthier or getting a better start, I guess, or how can we link that to what we're talking about?
In so many ways.
Yeah.
With a healthy, nurturing relationship, we work on bonding and with attachment.
Right.
And then the literacy piece as well.
The reading, mm-hmm. because you provide books for families
right.
as part of the program.
Well, and we do fun activities.
Right.
And do a lot of fun things with the families. We have family socials. And so that provides a chance for the families to get to know each other. And even if it's not just at a family social, which are so much fun,
right.
We may meet at community places,
sure,
such as the E3 Museum in
right.
the park. It's a lot of fun. That way the parents get to know each other and they're a support system for each other as well.
Makes sense. And that interaction, that bonding with the child is so important for the child's development. And so we've kind of gotten, in some cases, we've kind of gotten away from some of that in some families, right? I mean, that the kids are maybe put off maybe with a childcare worker or someone else that's taking care of the child, but there isn't that mom and dad interaction as much as maybe there used to be.
Right, and then you bring in technology. And
right.
It's pretty interesting wherever you go.
Right.
And it's not new.
Sure.
It's been going on for a while, but just whenever you're out anywhere and look and see, how many people are on their phones, and the babies too. They're given the devices.
Something shiny and something with a screen that's moving or what have you, right? And so that's important to remind mom and dad about spending time with the child, with the baby, I suppose, right?
Right. And not only that, we look at screen time with anything, TV, excuse me, and they're showing higher incident rates with ADHD because of that. And you're seeing so many images, on screens, and things are going so fast that it's actually rewiring the brain. And there's research.
Not in a good way, probably, either, right?
Yeah. Definitely not.
And so that is interesting. And again, that's maybe something that we wouldn't be aware of from our childhoods because we didn't have as much screen time back in those days.
Right.
And it's more of an issue today.
Right.
And that's important.
The Brady Bunch ran a lot slower.
Yeah, it seems like it did. That's true.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's a little bit different.
What's the new one? Fortnite?
Yeah, I think so. Right. I hope no one's sitting their kid in front of a TV for that, but they could be, I suppose, right? Let's hope not. Mm-hmm. But the first board program does all this. And again, it's only for families that are having their first child, because after that, you figure they've hopefully got it figured out or they don't need your help as much once they've gone through it once with the first child.
That's right. Somewhat, some people have it figured out. There may be some people who have lost their child, say, to their parental rights have been terminated.
Right.
And so we're able to help them as well, to give them the support that they need.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wide range of families
that
we serve.
And that's important. And you mentioned, too, again, it doesn't have to be maybe mom's first child. It could be dad's first child or the other way around. And this program can help in those situations, too.
Definitely. I have two families. I'm busy in the office and doing fun things like radio shows.
Right.
But I do have two families on my caseload. And one of them I've had since the child's birth, and it's dad's first. Mom's third.
Okay.
And dad's first. But then again, mom, too, is very interested usually, and things have changed.
Right.
So
what if there's a long gap between the first and maybe the second child? Because we see that sometimes, too. Is that something that you can help with as well?
Oh, definitely.
If it's been maybe 5 years or 10 years between child number one and child number two?
Given that it's one of the parents' first child.
That's what it needs to be.
Definitely.
For the program to kick in. And you said during the break to me that you're all fully staffed, so that means that you've got folks that are able to go and visit with these families, and that it's not a big wait. You can schedule these things and get the ball rolling, I suppose.
Definitely. We have 6 home visitors now, and then I do home visits. We have an awesome executive director. Our financial officer is awesome. And then we have a really great program assistant who helps us out. So
nice.
We have a full team, and we love to work on resources for families. And if families are, at 3 years old, when they're ready to move on, then we can look at what can we help them with then.
Right. What's next?
What's next?
Kind of thing. And this is free. This program is free. The firstborn program for families, right?
It's free, and it does not depend on income. It's a full range.
Anybody can probably qualify.
Yes, anybody.
But they have to call you. You can't just show up at their house.
We could probably pass out flyers.
You could do that. That's true.
Hey, I was at Orchard Park one time for the music in the park.
Yeah, and on Fridays.
Yes. And there was a pregnant couple there, and I talked to them. They filled out paperwork right there, and we signed them up.
Perfect. So, but that's all it takes.
We try to be careful.
Right. But that's all it takes, right? Is someone to just sign up, fill out the paperwork, and get the process started.
Right. And we have somebody go and do an informational visit, and if they're listening to that and they say, oh, I don't think it's for me, then no pressure. If they do sign up, if they're not liking it, then at any time.
Right. And as you were telling me before, they're eligible to sign up anytime from when they first find out that they're pregnant to the child being about, what, 3 months old?
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. still okay anytime throughout that entire 12-month period.
And we do like to start as soon as possible.
Right. Because some of that prenatal information is really important.
It is. I think one of the things that's kind of fun during it is we look at the size of the child, the baby in mama. And one of my favorite ones is, okay, now your baby is the size of an eggplant.
Right. To compare it to what people are familiar with, right. Perhaps,
and
right?
It's, I think it's so vitally important that people realize the brain development that's
right.
going on and the connections. It's really quite amazing. I would say if anybody has a chance to look at, say, the still face experiment, to look at that, please be prepared to have your heartstrings pulled on, but it really shows the importance of attachment.
Interesting. Even at that early age,
right.
early development, right?
I believe this experiment was done when babies were several months old.
Okay. And it talks, I think, a little bit, too, about the importance of the babies in mom and dad's environment, right? Because even those outside stimuli can impact and affect the child that's in mommy's tummy, right?
Definitely, definitely. And
the music you listen to, I suppose, the sounds that you hear, the things like that.
Mm-hmm. The reading.
Right.
All of the issues that are going on, it is definitely shown that how stress can affect a baby and how important that is to maintain a calm environment.
Right.
And it's a learning environment from the very beginning.
That's
it's
true.
Amazing.
That's true. Let me put a plug in for classical music at this time, too, because I think there are a lot of studies that show the importance of or just how classical music can be helpful in the development of children at an early age or even before they're born.
I will have to do more research
on
that.
Let me know.
I will.
I think I've seen studies about that, but I don't want to repeat that on the radio if I'm incorrect. So, but we'll put a plug in for the radio station. Before we run out of time, Diana Kinney, I do want to ask you again about your child safety seat event that's happening later on this month on September 29th.
We do. We partner with Safer New Mexico now, and National Seat Check Saturday is on September 29th, and that will be held in the parking lot of Hobby Lobby from 10 to noon, and it's very important to have your car seats checked. There
right.
are expiration dates. If a car seat is in any type of an impact, any type of accident, then it is no longer a viable seat.
Needs and to be replaced.
All right. And so people can come in and come to the clinic, and certified technicians will look over it and make sure that it's installed correctly and that it's a good car seat.
Very good. Not just some schlub like me looking at your car seat. It's someone like you who's had training to
That's
look
right.
at stuff and know whether it's right or wrong.
That's right. It's an intensive 4-day treatment. Mine was in Roswell during the summer.
Okay. So you weren't cold.
So we do hard work.
Yeah. But that's very important. And again, I don't want to make light of it, because if folks are swapping out seats and attaching them in a different car or what have you, or it's important, or if it's expired, it's been around for maybe got hand-me-down from an aunt or somebody or an mm-hmm. uncle, it may be time to get a new seat, because those things do have expiration dates.
That's right. Once they come into the clinic, then if they need a new seat, then we have those there, and we do ask for a $20 donation if they can afford that.
Right. Very good. Well, that's happening on the 29th of September.
Yes.
Coming up in a few weeks, everybody, in the parking lot outside of Hobby Lobby. And again, the phone number, if folks would like more information about the Firstborn program.
Here in San Juan County, it's 505-325-9187.
Okay. And your office is located near downtown on Barron.
On Barron.
Just near the under-construction Civic Center, I think,
Definitely.
Right? So if you hit that, you're right in the neighborhood.
Yes.
Perfect. Diana, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much, Scott.
You bet. Always great to see you.
You as well.
Diana Kinney, my guest here on KSJE. She is the program manager for Northwest New Mexico Firstborn here with me on KSJE.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.